Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. A lot of unfamiliar faces, well, they're familiar, but a lot of new faces in the crowd this morning. And this is sort of typical this time of the year. We value family. We value getting together with people. But I think above that, we value what this day, tomorrow, means to Christians. Turn with me in your Bibles. I'll be reading from Matthew 24. Not making many comments, but just sort of as a backdrop to devotions this morning. Matthew 24, I think we'll start reading in verse 42, and we'll just read the rest of the chapter. Matthew 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made rule over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Ever since I was old enough to understand the words, Christ is coming soon, I've heard these words. And I've heard it in sermons, I've heard it in conversations. And those words, when I was 7 or 8 years old, I thought, in 10 or 15 years, soon, that's what soon meant to me. At that age. Well, you grow up and you think, well, it sure would be nice to at least be 18. It sure would be nice to be married. It sure be nice to have children. It sure be nice to have grandchildren before the Lord returns. And somewhere in my length of years that I've been granted, that there's been a point in my life where I've heard those words so often that I think they've sort of lost the intent of what Scripture wants to say to me. And I remember in 1988, we were having youth campground meetings there in Indiana, and there was this book out that gave 88 specific reasons why Christ would return in 88. And it had, I'm not exactly sure, but I think there was a date chosen. And it was just soon after the revival meetings that this date was to occur. And there was a lot of conversation at these meetings about these 88 reasons why Christ would return. They were legit. You could read Scripture. He had it backed up. But when I just remember that sort of being played upon, and I believe the response of, I would say, probably several, I'd say at least 200 youth went forward on the final night of the altar call. And I think it was sincere. But I think that there was something that awoke in that great gathering, that this is actually a reality. But fortunately or unfortunately, the man was wrong. And I think the people who make those predictions, I think they underestimate maybe the damage that they do to sort of try to come up with a good reason, because people listen and people react and then, it didn't happen, And so in our time of year right now, we do a lot of planning and we get together and we plan for food. And I was speaking to a brother Wednesday night, and I told him, I said, if I'm not sure what our response would be on Christmas when we're gathered together to celebrate his coming as a babe, that he would return as a king. See, there's so many things that cause us to sometimes push out this second coming to the peripheral. And we lose that main focus that I think God wants us to continue. And it's not always easy waking up every morning, or when you're working and things are falling apart. It's not always easy to remember that. And there's a verse in that I want you to turn to, because it's very powerful. It's in 1 John. It's in 1 John 3. And I'd also like to note that the importance of Christ's return is a heavy theme in the New Testament. The nine authors of the New Testament all reference his second coming. So if you think about the nine authors referencing that, I think it's very important that we as individuals remember that as well. Let's read, and here's two verses in 1 John 3 that really spoke to me. We're going to start reading, I think we'll skip verse 1, and we'll just go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. For we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Isn't John saying that this hope that we as Christians have of his second coming shouldn't have that a purifying effect on our lives? So how do we do that? That's another subject that maybe you can talk about with your families. How do we purify ourselves as we wait his second coming? This should just be a constant awareness of what we've been delivered from. His promise of coming again should be a constant awareness to us that we've been delivered from sin, but that his first coming is not his only coming to this earth. And as impossible as it seems, if you fly into a huge city, you see all these skyscrapers and offices and homes and streets, and you think, will this actually pass someday? It's too big. There's too much steel. There's too much concrete. No, there isn't. Christ is coming again. So this morning, it's needful for Mark to tell self that it's not important that we concern ourselves with political developments and with sports events. And even for some of you, maybe it's tempting to be distracted by Bitcoin. What we need to be attentive to is that Christ could return tomorrow, as we celebrate his first coming as a babe. He could return as a king. I like to sing song 302. And for those of you who keep good track of songs, it was the last song we sang last Sunday. And I had already sort of picked my subject, but we're going to sing it again this morning.
Thank you.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, I confess that your second coming sometimes isn't forefront in my thought in my life. And dear Lord, this morning as we're gathered together, as your word speaks forth to us, I pray that your Holy Spirit would impress upon us to continue to walk in your ways, Lord, to just understand what your redemption means through your first coming, and to understand that you will fulfill it completely upon your second return to this earth. And I pray that you would help us to stay focused on that fact as we celebrate and as we go about our daily lives. Lord, help us to purify our lives so that we are ready when you do return. Pray that you would be with us as we continue to worship. May you be honored and glorified in all that is said today. In your name we pray. Amen.